Good morning. If you can't tell, I am not one of the kids this morning, but I'm. But yeah, it's really loud. Like I feel echo. That's okay. Yeah. Happy Father's Day, because today is Father's Day, and to honor our fathers this morning, we're actually going to take a short break from our usual series where we've been looking at the Book of Acts. And we're going to focus on dads this morning. So turn with me instead to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we do this because dads are not just important, dads are biblical. I mean, right from the very start of creation, God created man, God created woman, and in doing so, he created the family. And the family was God's plan for society. But ever since, as we know, the family and fatherhood have been under attack because there are those, and you probably heard some of them yourself, saying we should be redefining marriage, redefining family. There are those who say, you know, all of those old traditional ways are obsolete. There's those who want to say values are changing. Christians need to keep up. Even in the last few years, we've even come to a place where we're redefining genders. And yet what it's led to is a place where we live in a society where divorce rates are so high that marriages are now expected not to last. In fact, marital breakups are so common that many people aren't even getting married in the first place. It just saves on time and paperwork. And that means that millions of children right now are growing up in a home without their father present. And studies continue to show us that children who grow up fatherless are more likely to live in poverty, drop out of high school, abuse drugs, commit criminal acts, develop emotional problems, even commit suicide. So we're living in a society that is wounded by the loss of fatherhood. And I know that there are probably some people here today who even still have mixed feelings about Father's Day. And we just need to acknowledge that Father's Day is not a day that everybody wants to celebrate, because we don't live in a perfect world. And maybe not everyone has had the best relationship with their dad. Sometimes there's a lot of hurt there. Sometimes dads do hurt their kids more than they help. Some here may be feeling a loss, either the loss of a child from the past or even their loss of their dad. And it makes this day very painful too, especially if that loss is recent. Father's Day, it can bring up a whole range of emotions in our lives. Pain, loss, regret, even anger sometimes. And we want to recognize that as we do this morning. But none of those things are reasons to avoid honoring fathers, because fathers can be so important to our lives. So to do that, we come to this passage. It's a passage written by Paul. And to our knowledge, Paul was actually never married or had biological kids of his own. But that doesn't mean Paul didn't have a father's heart. And you can really hear Paul's heart loud and clear in this passage that we have before us. He even actually literally says, verse 11 and 12, he says, "You know how like a father with his children we exhorted each one of you." That's Paul's father's heart. So there's, you know, many rich lessons about fatherhood that we can learn from this passage. And it's not just lessons it's for dads alone. So don't check out, because this is stuff here that is applicable to all of us. Truth not just for dads, truth that all of us can be living out in our lives each and every day about ministering to others. So let me read it. I'd encourage you to follow along with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 12 this morning. It says this, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and our toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you to his own kingdom and glory. Let's pray. Father God, we just again come before you asking that you would be with us in a powerful way this morning. Lord, as we take this time to honor our earthly fathers, we recognize that, Lord, you are our heavenly Father and you are the example for all of us to set. And that, Lord, it is the Father heart in you that so touches our lives with love and care and even salvation that is offered to us to make us your children. And Lord, we want you to be with us. We want you to be present with us through the Holy Spirit. And just be with us in this moment as we honor fatherhood. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I guess as a dad, one of the things I've always kind of found interesting is that when you go to the store and you buy a TV or you want to buy a car or even something as simple as a salad spinner, it usually comes with some kind of instructions on how to use it, how to care for it. Sometimes there's even some warning labels, like I always love the clothing iron that feels the need to remind you not to iron your clothes while you're still wearing them. That's like, thank you for telling me. And yet, when you have a child, you take that precious child of yours home from the hospital, and you're pretty much on your own. I think maybe girls get a head start on this because they dress up their dolls and they play house. But for us boys, that baby is often the first living thing that's ever been offered into our care. And to be honest, we can feel a little bit lost. It's like the woman who made the mistake of leaving her baby daughter in her husband's care while she was busy doing some work in another room. And you know, he immediately sort of buried himself in his TV show and forgot all about the baby until he heard a series of thumps followed by a horrendous cry and instantly knew that his daughter had just fallen down the stairs. So slightly panicked, he just called out to his wife. He said, "Honey, come quick. Our little girl just took her first 24 steps. So, not a lie, I guess, but I mean, the moral of the story is sometimes us dads, we don't have a clue. It's a learning curve, I guess. But so this morning, I'm going to try to do the dads here a favor, because my goal is to give us men a guide to being dads that is grounded in God's words. And you can think of this as a brief biblical instruction manual for fathers based on Paul's own ministry from our passage today. And as we see, as soon as we would open this manual, biblical manual for fatherhood, I think the first thing that should stand out for us as dads are those words in verse 1 telling us it's worth it. It is not in vain. Verse 1, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain." And dads, you need to hear that. You need to know that just by showing up, you are making a difference. Even when you feel like all you're doing is making mistakes, even when you're getting frustrated, even at those times you feel like you're in over your head, it's worth it. Every hour, every sleepless night, every tear you shed, every time you have to open your wallet to cover another cost, it's worth it when it comes to your kids. Because when you choose to be a dad, you are making a difference in the life of your child. Even giving you just one example I found. There was a survey done that showed that when both mom and dad attended church regularly as a family, it was said that at that time, 72% of their children would remain faithful attenders in church when those kids grew up. But when dads drop out of the picture and only moms attend church with their kids, that number falls to only 15%. Dads, that's a 57% swing just when you show up and are present in your family. Dads, never think that you're not making a difference. You are not being a dad in vain. And if I had one application for you this morning, I don't want to give you an application for everything I tell you. One application I would give you, dads, this morning, it's the word commitment. Dads, we need to commit ourselves to this role in our families. We need to make the choice to show up every single day. Because it's a choice that won't wait. Being a dad, it won't wait until you get that promotion you've always dreamed of. It won't wait for that moment when your finances are better and you feel like you have more time. It won't wait for a more convenient time. And certainly your kids aren't going to, you know, stop growing up and wait for you to make the commitment to show up as a dad in your family. Kids need their dads today. So dads, make the commitment to your families because it's worth it. You are not laboring in vain. Which leads us to the next item in this instruction manual. And that's just like ministry for Paul, fatherhood, we need to see fatherhood as a calling upon our lives. Just look at verse 2 as verse 2 continues. Paul says, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal did not spring from error or impurity or attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, or nor pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or for others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on in those verses. Paul mentions shame. He mentions suffering. He mentions conflict and hard times and lack of flattery, not seeking glory for himself. And as I thought about that this week, I mean, part of me was kind of like, yeah, that's what to expect when you're a dad. It's going to be tough. And there's going to be times when you just feel unappreciated. It's like the young boy who was asked, what's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day? And his answer was, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, but you don't have to spend as much money on a gift. In fact, years ago, it was reported, the highest number of long-distance calls were made nationally on Mother's Day, but the highest amount of collect calls was made on Father's Day. Yep, that's happened. Dads, there's going to be days when you're dadding that are going to feel like that. I mean, being a dad, it can be a rough road. It can be tough. And you know what? There's no other job in this world that men can do, no matter how grueling you think that job is, that's more demanding than the job of just being a dad. Fatherhood, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of your life. And you don't, you know, get to punch out or go off the clock. And that's why, I guess, if you don't understand that what you are doing as a dad, that you're doing it for something bigger than yourself, you're not going to get through. So understand fatherhood, it's not just a job, it is a calling. And I've already talked about commitment, but a calling is even more than just a commitment. Understand fatherhood is a task that God has placed upon you as a sacred trust that he has given to you the moment he gave you kids. It is divine work. And as many obstacles that might come your way that are going to try to interfere with that, there's no letting go, no backing out. There's no other choice that you can make than to continue to be there for your kids because it's a calling. It's who you are. And if there's an application that I would give you here under the title of calling, the application would be the word surrender. Because you know what? If fatherhood truly is a calling from God, it only makes sense that to do it right, we need to constantly be going to God for both strength and guidance. Fatherhood is not a job that can be done in the power of flesh alone. It requires hearts that are seeking and surrendered to God. It requires a heart that's actually responding to this God's calling upon your life. Dads, there's going to be times when you're frustrated. Times when you're discouraged, times when you're exhausted, when you're down, when you're feeling over your head. At those times, go to God and seek his will, seek his strength, seek him for everything, because it is the calling that he gave you and he will support you through it. And with that sort of foundational groundwork in place, I guess we might next ask, yeah, but what does it actually look like when we show up to do the job? Well, that's what comes next in verse 7, where Paul says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. As fathers, Paul's letting us know here that all of that sort of gentle, touchy-feely stuff is not just for the moms or for the ladies. Men, we need to learn how to show our softer side, especially to our families. We need to show love to our kids and to our wives, because a godly father is to be a tender and caring man. Gary Smalley, a popular author, Christian author and psychologist, did a survey, 100 people. He asked the question, what is a specific way, as you were growing up, that you knew you had received your father's blessing? Listen to some of the answers. One person said, my father would put his arm around me at church and let me lay my head on his shoulder. Another said, when I wrecked my parents' car, my father's first reaction was to hug me and let me cry instead of yelling at me. And another one said, even though I had never seen him cry before, my father cried during my wedding because he was going to miss me no longer being at home. And I don't know if you caught a common theme in some of those answers, but the theme is really the tenderness of the father's heart. That's what impacts our kids, I think, the most. So for an application here for this, I would simply encourage you dads to spend more time with your family. Because look at verse 8 of our passage as Paul continues. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Paul's talking here about sharing his very self with the people of this church because he loved them so much. The NIV, I think, is even more clear. He says, because we loved you so much, we delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our own lives as well. As dads, one of the best ways we can show love to our families is to give them ourselves. And we do that by giving them our time. Got to take time for your family. Take time to hug your kids. Tell them they're important. If your kids are older, take time to call them. Take time to sit with them. Take time to listen to them. Take time to play with them. Make time for your families because your time shows your love. And time is something that is desperately needed in families from dads. In fact, a study was done not too long ago that determined, and this was always shocking to me, determined that the average amount of meaningful time a father spends interacting with their children on a daily basis per child was 37 seconds. And to put that into perspective, that means by the time an average child is 6 years old, he or she will have spent more time watching TV at the age of six than they will spend talking to their father during their entire lifetime. And our families need more than that. John Trent once writes one of my favorite stories about a dad who made the commitment to give his time to his families, to his family. And for several years, his father had been taking his older girl out for daddy date time, where they would spend quality time together, just all alone. But the day had come for his first daddy date with his youngest daughter, who was now 2. So he took her out for breakfast, and they'd, you know, just gotten their pancakes when the father decided this is a good time to tell his daughter just how much he loves and appreciates her. Jenny, he said, I want you to know how much I love you, how special you are to mom and me. We prayed for you for years, and now that you're here and growing up to be such a wonderful girl, we couldn't be more proud of you. Once he said all that, he stopped talking and he reached for his fork and began trying to eat. But he never got the food to his mouth because his daughter just reached out her little hand and laid it on her father's hand. And her eyes went to his, and in a soft, pleading voice, she simply said, "Longer, Daddy." So he put down his fork and proceeded to tell her some more reasons and ways that they loved her and appreciated her. But every time he reached for his fork, he heard those words, "Longer, Daddy." And you know, the dad didn't get much eating done that morning. But his daughter got that emotional nourishment that every child needs. Dads, give your kids your time. Which leads us back to verse 8 again. Because there's two things that Paul really wanted to share with these people. And it says in verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you have become very dear to us. And here's the next big chapter in our instruction manual for fathers. And if this were an actual booklet, this is the chapter that would have large bold print with the word important stamped right across the top. Because the lesson we learn about fatherhood is that fatherhood is about sharing the gospel with your family. We don't just share ourselves. We seek to share the truth. And we don't just see that mentioned here in verse 8. That's actually the theme of this entire passage. Paul, as a man who genuinely loved these people, he had a desire to share the truth of the gospel with them. Love and sharing the truth go hand in hand. In fact, he says, verse 2, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. Verse 4 says, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Verse 8 again, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God. And verse 9, we work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Paul was a man who was focused on his goal to teach people truth. And men with a father's heart, you have to be a man who loves to actively share the gospel with your family. Because you know what? The Bible clearly tells us that. The Bible clearly states that the responsibility for educating our children in spiritual matters, it's not primarily the job of the church or of Sunday school or Christian schools or anything else. Biblically, the responsibility to teach children about God and the gospel is primarily on the parents. So dads, please hear this. Teach your children about God. Guide them in truth. Speak to them about the Bible. Tell them the stories of faith. Read to them the Word of God. Bring them to church. Share your own trials and testimony with them. And most importantly, introduce them to Jesus. Parents, both fathers and mothers, be teachers and proclaimers of God's truth in your home. And the application that I have for you here is not simply, don't just teach your kids the truth, but live out that truth as well, personally. Let your life be an example. Because skipping down to verse 10, Paul says, you are witnesses in God also how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. We need to live out this truth for people to be witnesses. And in your home, you understand, our kids need to see that in us. Men, we have to have the deepest of character in every area of our lives. Because the way that we live our lives is something that we are actually passing on to our kids. We're giving them an example to follow by our spending habits, by the way that we resolve conflicts, by the values we order our lives by. We're giving an example by our worship habits, by our devotional life, by the way our approach to work, by the way we handle hard times. In everything we do, our children are watching us and they are learning about how to live. So live biblically. Live out the truth in your home. Live your life as an example. Live a life of character. Because as Charles Swindoll says, the world needs men who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who are larger than their vocations, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will make no compromise with wrong. The world needs men who will not say they do it because everybody else is doing it, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth even when it's unpopular, and who can say no with emphasis even when the rest of the world is saying yes. The world needs men who stand up for what they believe, men who sacrifice their faith, sacrifice for their faith and for their families, and who are not afraid to go against the grain of popular opinion. And as fathers, we are to bring that truth and to live out that truth in our homes. Which leads us to the next lesson in this instruction manual for fathers, and that's found in verse 9. Paul says, for you remember, brothers, our labor and our toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. And you may have already sort of picked up on this fact that fatherhood is hard work. But again, if I was to give this chapter of our parental manual a heading, it would be tell you fatherhood is about working hard. Because Paul, you know, he talks here about how hard he worked at this church. And in fact, hard work is something that these people would remember about Paul's time with them. And the same thing should be true about us as dads and as fathers. Fathers should be a blessing and not a burden on their families. And that comes from working hard. We should be known as hard workers. We should be doing our best to be caring for the material needs of our families and earning a living and providing all that we can. We should be dedicated to being productive with our lives and not being idle. But I know, even as I say that, I know this is also a place where men can go very wrong as well. So if I was to give you an application for this lesson, it would be the word balance. Because work and careers can and have thrown many men's lives out of balance. So the key here when it comes to working hard is not just to make sure you're working hard, but making sure you're also working hard on the right purposes, on the right things. Fathers who are here today, God has placed you in a family for a purpose. He has work for you to do in your family and for your family. And I know men are expected, to provide basic needs of our family, the food, clothing, shelter, but I believe our true priority must be on working hard to be godly dads in the home. Because too many men think that if they give their kids lots of toys and money and put their wives in a big, beautiful house, that they've done their job as a father. But they're wrong. Money is no substitute for a dad. And if your career keeps you from getting involved in your kids' lives, if you don't have time to build a relationship with your wife and your children, if you're too busy or too tired to connect with your family emotionally at the end of the day, then you may be working hard, but you might be working hard on the wrong things. Work hard. But work hard as a man to make sure you're being a father to your kids. Make sure you're working hard as a man to be a husband, a good husband for your wife. Working hard as a man is work hard at being a man of godly character. That's the hard work we're called to do. And that leads us to our last lesson for this instruction manual for fathers. We see it in verse 11, and I would call it leaving a legacy. As Paul writes, "For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." See, Paul's long-term goal for these people that he loves is that they would get to a place in their walk with God where they'd be able to walk all on their own. And not just on their own, but they would actually be walking in a manner that is worthy of God. That was his long-term vision of bringing these people to maturity. And you know what? The same goes for fatherhood. As fathers, our goal is to get our kids to a place where they can begin to walk on their own, where they're ready to take on challenges of their own, where they're ready to do life without you watching over them every step of the way. And it's not that you can't still be there for them, but it's just different when they learn to, leave the nest and fly. Actually, reminds me of that great verse, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, as fathers, we're to be building into our kids what I would call a life direction. We're helping them figure out who they are and what God has prepared them to do with their lives. We're helping them figuring out their, not just direction, but all of this adulting stuff. And that could be a big challenge, especially for dads. Because I know when my kids were young, just getting them to church on time with their hair combed was a major victory for me. Like, I was like, yes, I did it. But now I'm like, I have to help them plan for that. That's a big job. Plan for the future. How do I do that? Well, our passage, I think, again, offers us the perfect application for us as we close on how do we begin directing our kids towards maturity. As Paul talks in this passage about encouraging and exhorting these people in their walk with God. Fathers, encourage your children, especially when they rise to the challenges that are before them. I bought a book for my kids not too long ago called Do Hard Things. And it was just a recognition that, getting ready to do grown-up things is going to be challenging. And as their dad, my role is to encourage them when that moment comes, to be there to support them, to be their cheerleader, to believe in them and tell them, you can do this. Dads, believe in your kids. Celebrate your kids. Rejoice in their victories and comfort them in their failures. And keep encouraging them as they learn to walk in the direction that God is leading them as they grow. And that's what being a godly father is all about as we look at this passage this morning. That's this biblical instruction for dads is telling us. That godly fathers are committed, knowing that their work is never in vain. That godly fathers learn to surrender and seek God's strength and direction in order to fulfill their calling. That godly fathers offer tender-hearted care as they show their love to their wives and children through giving of their time and of themselves. And that godly fathers live lives that are an example to us as they ground their families in the truth of God's word. Godly fathers work hard at being a godly dad as they seek a life of balance. And godly fathers encourage and celebrate their kids as they grow, knowing that they are leaving a legacy as their kids begin to learn to walk on their own. And those are the kind of fathers that we need. Those are the kind of dads. Those are the kind of men that we do want to honor here today. Just as it says, Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. So this morning, we just want to close by saying thank you to our fathers. Thank you, fathers, for your timeless and selfless dedication to your family. Thank you for your godly example in our homes and your spiritual leadership. Thank you for your teaching and the truth. Thank you for loving your wives, our mothers, in a way that reveals God's love to us. And thank you for being there for us when the going gets tough. We thank you, dads, for providing for the needs of your family, for your discipline, though difficult, for your time, though precious. And we thank you for your faithfulness and the unconditional love you show to all your children. Fathers, today we want to say thank you for seeking to be the men God called you to be. And we seek to honor your legacy in our homes. And may you be blessed on this day. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful this morning for our earthly fathers who follow you. We're so thankful for the many men in our lives who live their lives as a shining example of biblical manhood, and whose lives are witnesses to the world around them, and who have hearts for their family and for the others around them. And Lord, I pray that you would see those men this morning and that you would bless them for your faith, for their faithfulness, and that they would know that all of that effort, all of that work, all of those hardships and heartaches, that they would be worth it and they're not in vain, and that they are making a difference in the lives of their kids and in the people around them. But Lord, I know there's also other people here who, Lord, they come with hurt when it comes to fatherhood. There's a sense of pain. For some, there is a sense of loss and grieving. For some, there are people who are here when it comes to fatherhood who need healing. And I pray for them that healing would come and that they would know your love, that they would know your love for them, and that you can be the father's heart that their hearts are looking for. And Lord, we just thank you for families. And Lord, I know no family's perfect. I don't do this stuff right all the time, most of the time sometimes. But Lord, the family is your idea for the beginning. And it's the perfect building block for society. So Lord, we pray that you would give us strong marriages, strong families, and just godly kids. And that, Lord, you would be present in every single bit of it. You would be present in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.